discussion with Lisa. We have the agenda in front of us. I will give over to the committee secretary to read the agenda of the group. And then we take it from there.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, members and the department. The agenda for today, Wednesday, 23rd September 2015, is as follows. We have two apologies, Mr. Bagrain and Ms. Jobo. And then it's going to be the adoption of this agenda, which is a briefing by the department on its first quarterly report, deliberation on that presentation, and thereafter followed by another presentation by the department on the annual report, which will culminate to the BRRR this year. And then deliberation on that presentation, thereafter followed by the last briefing, which is on the progress regarding the recommendations on the BRRR. And thereafter, sorry, I just forgot to put the committee will do its internal document after it. Thank you, Chair.
Apologies, okay. I wish to welcome everybody who is in the meeting duty with your official, and I'm not going to repeat what is expected of the department today because it has been read out by the committee secretary. We hope that what will be presented to us this year will be nothing else but the truth, and where you don't have a positive information, please share that to them. I want to alert your members and the DG to get that we are well briefed about what we'll be discussing. We've done our research. We have the information in our fingertips on each and everything, up to, we have the manifest of the manifest. We did our homework so that when you come here, you don't have questions to waste your time for the sake of us interviewing. We zoom at the right questions that will show us how much you have delivered in a mandate, and all the mandates of the department have to do with service delivery. So you have your own, and that's what we'll be listening to you, telling us how far you have gone, and where you have not gone, where you have not reached the target, why, what is in place, when to be expected. So if you sit in that way without doubting and want us to be the truth, it will be smooth, it will be very smooth. I think before I give it to you,
Honorable,
you wanted to do something?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to register apologies from Mr. Ollis. He won't be able to make it for today.
And the letter?
I suppose he will forward it to the committee secretary, and I don't have a address now.
We will mark him as absent, because it will, whatever, if the letter will come after the meeting, it can be an apology. And Honorable Ollis has been in this terrain for a long time. He knows very well what are the rules and the policies, but we accept what you're saying.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Members, before we begin to start, are we agreeing with the agenda? Honorable America is moving for adoption. Honorable Lolo is supporting it, so the agenda is adopted. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you so much, Mr. President, and good morning to you, Sheriff, and the Honorable Member. I'm going to ask each member of my team to introduce themselves. I'll start with the CFO right next to me, and we'll go up the way.
Good morning, honorable members. Human Tunas, Financial Policy of the Department of Labor.
Good morning, honorable members. It's Dennis Manipe from the Sheltered Employee Sector.
Good morning, honorable members. Sam Motova, CDC Public Employment Services.
Good morning, my name is Wadu Seafield, the DDD of the NIR.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Ajim Mudo, CDGIS. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Bill Maba, acting chair of the Department of Labor, representing DDC Public Services. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Cedric Kube. I'm the chief risk officer at the UAF and standing in for the UI Commission.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Buyo Masata. I'm the acting compensation commissioner.
Good morning, Chairman and honorable members. Eric Nyagamba, parliamentary liaison officer, Minister of Labor.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Maripole Nkesi. I'm the head of the Artificial Health Office.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Makasala Matabuhi. I'm the acting CHRD.
Person and the honorable members, I would like to register two apologies from the UIF commissioner, Mr. Sarouwe. Today they are having a board meeting and they are looking at the budget of the unemployment insurance fund. It has to be submitted to National Treasury as part of the mid-year requirement that they have to submit their post budget objections to the National Treasury. The second one is the COO. There is a hearing taking place with regard to the chief financial officer of the compensated fund. So the COO is one of the witnesses there. So he could not be with us today. Chairperson and honorable members, I'm not going to start from the policy mandate and all those. I think the committee is pretty much familiar with the mandate of the department. I want to start at slide 7, which talks about the two letters that we are using as a department. We're using, in the past, we used to have three legends. One will be your green legend, which is the indicating achieved. Then we'll have a yellow one, which is the amber, which indicates that the indicators were partially achieved. And then we'll have the red one, indicating not achieved. Through our interaction with the AG, we agreed that we will use two legends, green and red. However, the disadvantage with using two legends is that the committee doesn't get to have a sense of how far we've gone with regard to other indicators that were not achieved. And again, if we have not achieved if you performed up and you achieved 99%, it is recorded as an unachievement. So we've agreed with the AG that in order to reflect the correct performance of the department, we have to focus on 100% achievement. So in slide 9, slide 8, you have the overall performance of the department with regard to quarter one. What we've done is we looked at the different strategic objectives, contribute employment creation. We have 9 targets. We achieved 4, sitting at 44%. Promoting equity in the labor market, we had 6 indicators. We achieved 3, we sit at 50%. Protecting vulnerable workers, we had 7 indicators. We achieved 4, we did not achieve 3, we're sitting at 57%. Strengthening occupational safety protection, we had 5. Indicators, we achieved 3, sitting at 60%. Promoting sound labor relations, we achieved 50%. Monitoring the impact of labor legislation, we achieved 100%. Strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, we had 17 indicators, we achieved 6, translating to a 35% achievement. The total number of indicators that we had for the first quarter was 50. Those that were supposed to have performed and achieved something were 47. We then achieved 22, which translates to 47%. Therefore, with non-achievement translates to 53%. Now, if we take it by branch, you have administration which planned to do 17 and they ended up doing 6, which translates to 35%. Personal enforcement services, 47%. Public employment services, 44%. Labor police and industrial relations, 83%. And then you see the total number of indicators and the overall performance. Now, if we measure whether we're making headways or not, if we do a comparative analysis of quarter one strategic objectives for financial 24-14 and financial year 15-16, and you see that for this strategic objective, which is contributed to employment creation, there's been a slight, you know, improvement in terms of the performance. If you look at promoting equity in the labor market, there's been a deep decline. Last quarter we're sitting at 67%, second quarter this time around we're sitting at 70%. Protecting vulnerable workers, there's been a significant improvement. Last quarter we're sitting at 41%, we're now sitting at 71%. Strengthening occupational safety protection, there's also been an increase of marginally 10%. Promoting sound labor relations, there's been a decline of 50%. We're sitting at 100% if you compare it with what happened last year, and now we're sitting at 50%. Monitoring the effect of legislation, there hasn't been a change. We've been, you know, consistently performing very well as far as that strategic objective is concerned. Strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, there's been a decline, and we went down by 35%. The overall performance has also declined from 49 to 47%. If we look at it from a branch perspective, the administration has its performance has increased. Inspection enforcement services as well, public employment services it has improved, labor policy and industrial relations it has improved, and as mentioned earlier on, our overall performance has gone down. Now, these are the major areas where we ignore as a department. When it comes to administration, we're supposed to have developed and sign off the department and action plan to address key challenges raised in the MPED 1.5 report. We, at the end of the reporting period, that indicator was not achieved. However, we are in the process of finalizing it. We should be signing it off MPED as we can this week. The number of monitoring reports of service delivery improvement plan, at the time of reporting the FDPIP with the service delivery improvement plan was not signed off. We have since signed it off, and certain aspects of the plan are being implemented. Percentage of fraud cases received, expected, finalized the year within 90 working days. This is one of the bigger challenges that we faced with, especially in the condensation and dry earth environment, where a number of fraud cases have been detected. I think given the capacity constraints that we have there, we find it very difficult to, you know, to achieve that target consistently because of the numbers of fraud cases. However, we are doing something with regards to decreasing or making sure that the number of fraud cases are reduced. I have addressed staff on this matter. We have the fraud prevention policy, which we have workshops on staff on, so that everybody is aware of what is it that is contained in the policy. The communication strategy, we're working with GCIS here to make sure that the 31st of December 2016 will have a communication strategy which is well benchmarked. Percentage of women SMS, and also I would like to combine this with the vacancy indicator. We have not achieved that, and the reason for that, and you also see it in the annual report, just says that we really had to take stock of our finances with regard to compensation of employees, and we then took a decision which we shared with the committee at some stage, that we decided that because we are projecting over expenditure on the compensation of employees, we decided to suspend filling of vacancies. Now, the committee will remember that we came here to present a plan with regard to inspection and enforcement services, and we said to the committee, National Treasury has agreed to give us the money that they took. And one of the problems that we have now with the compensation of employees is that we had to, and you'll see in the financial report of the department, that in order to plug the gap that was created by the funds that were taken from the inspection enforcement services branch, we had to shift funds from other branches to plug that gap, and which meant that even the pools that were funded that were supposed to have been filled by other branches could not be filled. Because if we had allowed them to do so, we would have then overspent on the compensation of employees. And we didn't want to do that. We thought what is proper is to apply a cautious approach to filling of vacancies. So what we're doing now is we look at the critical positions. And we fill the critical positions even when vacancies become, even when we have vacancies, we took a decision that we fill the critical positions so that we don't overspend. So that's why in this area, probably it will take us some time to really, perform well in this area, because it is only in the 2016-17 financial year that the IES compensation employees, money that was taken will then be given to the, given back to the department. I think I've spoken already with about The percentage of Kisla cases resolved in 90 working days, we're sitting at 33%, and to some degree, the fact that we're not filling some of the vacancies is also contributing, because there are provinces that are sitting with employee relations vacancies. But also the fact that it takes sometimes to run the disciplinary processes before you get, the employees who are affected requesting postponement and this thing drags on and on. And in terms of the procedure, you can't have a legitimate request or postponement, you can't say no. And this thing drags on, and the result we unable to resolve 100% of the these cases within 19. ICD strategy and annual action plan approved by end of April. We haven't achieved this, but we know that by end of 30 September 2015, I would have signed off on the ICT governance framework, which colleagues together with the compensation fund and the UIF have worked on. The 25% estimation of the annual target, the ICT studies of the all the funds are not yet consolidated. This is what we are hoping, that by the 1st of October we have consolidated the ICT strategy of the two funds, including the Department of Ego. The payment of the invoices within 30 days, this is one area which we are trying to put our fingers on. We want to make sure that we pay within 30 days 100% of the invoices submitted to the department. But there are a number of challenges with regards to this. You'll see also in the annual report that our performance, I think, is sitting at 97% with regards to this. Now, the problem is that some issues relating to the verification of banking details, vendor amending banking details prior to invoicing the department, and some of these also vendors, they submit their invoices very late to the Department of Labor. In fact, we have officials having to chase them every now and then for them to submit the invoices on time. And we are being monitored regularly by the presidency on this indicator. We have to submit a report to them on a regular basis, and the National Treasury. Procurement of fleet vehicles in line with departmental benchmarks. We were delayed by the National Treasury to issue the RP57 transversal contract for procurement of the fleet. We are, however, happy that we've made the conditions have been received. We place the orders, and we're hoping that by the end of this quarter, which is the second quarter, the cars will be delivered. The number of designated employers reviewed per year when it comes to inspection and enforcement services, we could not achieve that. The target was 193. We did 163, and this is largely because of the delayed submissions of complaint information by employers, and in some instances, not availability of CEOs to serve recommendations. But this is something that we're monitoring as a department to make sure that we improve on. Protect vulnerable workers. We have not achieved this. We struggle to get, we are supposed to have done at least four seminars, and we haven't done them yet, but we know we will do them. We struggled to get venues at some point, which we know that we'll get our fingers around it. Percentage of reported incident investigated within 90 days. We have not achieved, we achieved the 44%, the non-availability of injured one of the things that we do when we conduct incident investigation is to talk to the injured people or injured person and we require them to be available as witnesses, and in some instances this has been proven to be very difficult to get to them on time, and that's why we're sitting at 44% instead of 60%. What we want to do is, what we have done is establish a provincial incident focal team, which will look at the backlog that we have. The next slides are the performance of the different provinces, which also reflect what I've already spoken about. So I'm not going to go through that. I think the committee members have sight of this information.
Excuse me for the interruption and the point of order. Madam Chair, I think before we proceed, and the DG has missed the slide, it is on the handout slide number 16. Before we proceed to 16, the percentage of court papers, as you start with that particular one. That's fine. I'm just going to go back to that one.
Sorry, Chair. What I didn't say to members was that I would focus only on the areas that we did not achieve. If you look at that slide, we have achieved everything. Okay, all right, that's fine. All right, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Member. The percentage of court case papers to resolve litigation, we're supposed to have achieved 90%, we have achieved 100%. The number of annual financial statements and current financial statements compiled a year, and we're supposed to have submitted the annual report by the 31st of May 2015, which we have done. We're supposed to have requested rollover and made submission to National Treasury, which we have done. So the rest reflects that which I have indicated already, which is the provincial performance, which is a breakdown of how the different provinces have performed in as far as inspection and enforcement services is concerned. If the deputy allows, I'll just skip this and go straight to public employment. The number of final regulations in terms of the Employment Services Act, we're supposed to have drafted three regulations which will be approved by the Public Employment Services. That was done. The number of work seekers registered on ESPA, we had a target of 144,000. We did 150,973, and the breakdown of how each province has contributed to that overall target. Number of registered work seekers provided with employment counseling per year, we were supposed to have done 60 during this reporting period. We fell short, we did 46,358. And the reason for not achieving that, the implementation of new controls for reporting resulted in the not all counseling being captured into the system. The manual records kept by the provinces need to be captured into the Employment Services system. And no reporting of manual records is allowed to ensure that the reliability of reports is improved. What we've done here is, in instances where there were manual loading of information onto the system, we decided that we will not take anything that is not on the system. Because which is not on the system is not reliable, and we have had a discussion with AG on this in terms of the reliability of the data and the reliability of the information that we provide. So what we have done is, in instances where provinces have indicated that they have performed this work and they have not showed us any evidence to that effect, we have discounted that information. Anything that has not been verified has been discounted. The number of registered workers placed in registered employment opportunities per year were supposed to have placed 6,250, we only placed 1,003. And the reason for that is the insufficient focus in recruitment, selection, and lighting of registered work seekers. What we want to do is to review the role of EFT2s and employment counselors in training work seekers in registered opportunities. Number of employment opportunities registered on ESPA per year, we were supposed to have done in this quarter one, 15,500, we did 20,981. And you can see the breakdown there in terms of how each province has contributed. The private employment agencies and temporary employment services registered. So we wanted to make sure that all complete TAAs and TED applications are processed within 60 days of the state. We have not achieved that. The total of OA2 applications were received, 59 were processed within 60 days, 28 after 60 days, and 18 application processed. Will be reported in quarter two, and delays in inspection of premises of private employment agencies applicants. So in quarter two, we want to make sure that we improve this. Both the inspection and enforcement services and public employment services will be working together to make sure that there is strict adherence to inspection timeframes. And again, there is a breakdown in terms of how the different provinces have fared. Applications for foreign nationals, we received 19 corporate visa applications. We received 19. The target was 19. So a total of 398 applications were received. A total of 58, which is 15%, applications were processed within 30 working days. 3 for corporate and 55 for individual. Applications were processed beyond 30 days. 16 for corporate and 324 for individual. And the reason for us not achieving the target is that there's been an increase in the number of visa applications that we've received. So our offices were inundated with these applications, which meant that we couldn't process them on time. And of course, before you process, you need to make sure that there's proper inspection that has been done to check whether the company that is requesting these applications complies with the law. There's a breakdown in terms of how each province has contributed. You've got corporate visa, you've got individual visa. The Labour Policy and Industrial Relations Employment Equity Amendment Act implemented in 2014 annual employment equity register. A report to the register published the 30 June that was done. 8 companies income differential appears to promote the principle of equal pay for work of equal value. That was not achieved. Because during this period, we have to make sure that the team that is doing this work also assists the Commission for Employment Equity to organize the Employment Equity Awards. And so we had depleted staff with regards to the people that were supposed to do this work. However, we will catch up in the second quarter. Number of new and existing sectoral determinations reviewed and investigated by March 2016 were supposed to have conducted 80 public hearings, which we have done. Number of collective agreements extended within 60 days of receipt. We've extended 4, however, we took longer than 60 days to do that. And one of the reasons is that there are interactions that we must get into when we want to extend. And in some instances, you get objections from different small players in the industry, which makes it very difficult for the minister to process these things on time because she gets petitioned by the small employer. And this has resulted in the approval taking more than 60 days. Longer than required. We are, however, engaging with the smaller employers with regard to how we extend collective agreements, and hoping that our engagement will improve the process. Number of labor market trends reports published and research reports produced that we have achieved. With regard to corporate services progress, in the MTED 1.5 have been launched for the financial year 2015-16, and this gives the department a chance to improve its rating on the four key performance areas. Required evidence will be provided to the KDA coordinators, and this is the means by which the department can prove that work is being done. The alignment of draft communication strategy will be prioritized to enable implementation of the indicator. The finalization of received and detected fraud cases will receive priority, and there's an ongoing training of investigators to make sure that we finalize these cases. And with regard to the performance of the inspection enforcement services, we expect that the performance will improve in quarter two, as we have provided them with the required tools of trade. We thought that the performance will improve substantially. Training for substantive inspection has been prioritized, and quarter two performance is expected to rise as most of the non-active indicators are due to be performed by quarter two. Discontinuing manual reporting on the number of work seekers provided with counseling will improve the performance of the indicator. As per the year progresses, performance is expected to improve with the remedial actions that have been proposed. The program performance for the grants against the plan indicator, which is LP and IR, is on course with only one target not achieved. There is no concern at this stage that grants will not achieve its planned targets. In conclusion, assessing the remedial actions we've taken for addressing non-achievement indicators, we want to make sure that it's relevant to the challenges that have been experienced. We've worked hard to align that. The branches have the next 3 quarters to improve performance and address that lock experience in quarter one. I do want to make this comment, Chairperson, in conclusion, that what we have done as department in improving performance is that we have established a national performance review committee, which is headed by the chief operations officer, and is comprised of the COO of the different funds, and also the chief directors monitoring and evaluating of the department and the two funds that we have. And the team is supposed to meet on a regular basis to review performance of the Department of Labor. What we don't want is to, when it comes to the end of the financial year or the end of the media assessment, we then grapple with the performance of the branches, the individual provinces, but also the individual employees, and we do not link the performance of the branch and the provinces to the performance of the individual. So we don't want them to catch this process at the tail end. So we want the team to have a clear view of how we're performing as an organization, so that whenever we need to, we have identified areas where we need to address shortcomings, that this team is able to give us that information, you know, very early in the course of the year. The second thing that we have agreed to do with AD is that we will take the quarter one report, we'll give it to them. They will have a look at it. And if there are areas where they think that we still need to improve in terms of compliance with national treasury regulations, public finance management act, they will then advise the department. And we got into this agreement so that we can avoid trying to find solutions to the problems at the end of the financial year when we actually cannot find those solutions. So we want to work together so that by the time they do their annual audit, we have dealt with a number of challenges that we would have experienced as a department. It gives us enough time to address the issues that they raise, but also it also compels us as a department to just do the basic things right, which we are not doing as a department. We have put these systems in place to deal with a whole host of things that that the AG has raised relating to the reliability of the information that we have, that we submit to them on a regular basis. We will be finalizing the ICT system for inspection and enforcement services, so that they don't use the manual processing of information. There are enhancements that we will be making on the EFSA system to make sure that we also improve the way EFSA works. The third thing, Chairperson, is that we are almost at the tail end of the process of appointing a chief information officer. We've done the shortlisting. We're about to have the interview. We think that once we finalize that process, it will stabilize our ICT environment. We'll be able to have a proper structure. We'll make sure that the CIO, the chief information officer, appoints the necessary people that are supposed to be to be appointed to make sure we have a strategy in place. I think that's it, in as far as the quarter one report is concerned. I do also want to just make this point here that we've worked hard to stabilize our supply chain environment. And you'll see that in the audit report, AG has been raising this point sharply. We're comfortable with steps that we've taken to address this, and also with regard to with regard that, and I guess that's why you see we have quite a number of if you look at the report, you'll see that AG has also raised the issue of irregular expenditure. It is one area that we're placing our fingers on, and you can see that from the indicator and the target that we set 100%, because we want to make sure that everybody understands that irregular expenditure is not acceptable. And we have started setting disciplinary processes in instances where colleagues have irregularly spent government money. The difficulty that you have as an accounting officer is that you must condone irregular expenditure every now and then. It's a procedure. And that's why I insist that before I condone, I need to see what steps have been taken against the person who has led to the irregular expenditure. So we're very strict when it comes to that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Do you have other people who will be talking? No, no additions from the department. So, meaning that it's not members, what do we do? Do we take questions or take on the presentation? Or do we deal with each presentation one by one? Honorable America?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree that we deal with the presentation from the time as well. The information is good. I have got a number of questions that I could ask. I'm not going to ask all of them now, Madam Chair, because I need to give other presenters an opportunity. Or other
That's a proposal, and I hope that you agree because there is no one that okay. Continue, Honorable Member.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. DG, just that the religious and oversight and Schneid Act is the quarter one performance strategic objective. That's the one there. If you look at the second column, we have the annual plan indicators, and in the column next to it, you have indicators reporting in the first quarter. So you have 9 and 9, meaning that you have achieved the annual others as well. The annual targets in the first quarter ought they to be less than the annual targets, or is it just the heading has not correct?
Let's hear other questions. Please note that one. I have Honorable Lolima and Mr. Honorable Lolima.
Thanks, Chair. Can I give all my package on in terms of questions to the presentation? Our one is to say, I had the DG in his presentation saying that they are using two measures to reflect progress in their performance. Where I'm seated, I'm a bit worried because the use of the two lessons leads to many things being reflected as not achieved. And what is interesting is the fact that we met the AG yesterday. In their report, they are using three lessons, not two. So that thing is quite interesting. Maybe we need to find a way of appealing to the AG that will be allowed to go back to the use of three lessons. But that is not in any way encouraging women to go home. We are like the ages of if you really want the 100% so that you are brain. But this thing of having either or is making your report to be a fair one. The second one is I wanted you to go back to that slide 8 and slide 9 that you have shown, if you can run them again. If you look at your contribution to employment creation, you are at 44%, and on strengthening the institutional capacity, you are at 35%. The 35% of the capacity of the department in terms of improving it, to me, is a worrying factor because improvement will only be brought about when there's improvement on the efforts you make to strengthen the institutional capacity. Can you show the next slide next to this one, because I also wanted to comment. I'm looking at administration, and administration is the engine of the department. If you are performing at 35% there, that is a worrying factor. We need drastic changes there, so that when you come to report for the second quarter, you are at 50% and above, because we don't want to align cases. One other thing I wanted to ask, why are you setting very high targets for yourself, which you are unable to achieve? Look there, for instance, your planned indicator or your indicators with targets reporting in the first quarter, there you have 17 and you only achieve 3, and it's not a good picture at all. All your targets are high, but when it comes to achievement, it's low. Why don't you balance your targets and the human resource that you have? Because remember, you have a burden of vacancies in the department, which index on the manner in which you perform. Why are you not making these two targets? I've seen another slide, but at least you explained on this one. Where you set your target dealing with vacancy rate, you set it at 8%, but instead of improving, it has gone up to 11.5. But when you reflected in your presentation that from 15 names you have started appointing, as a committee, our expectation is that when you come for the second quarter, that improvement should be reflecting in your report. The other one is to say, update your report. You can't be coming to us on the 20th September, but still saying ICT government framework to design not that one. Electronic recording or counseling to be addressed in a meeting on 30th July 15th. It can be something in progress. You are supposed to say that has been done because we are in September. We want a report when you come back to us, even if you will not be reporting on that, on the signing off of the ICT government framework, which you are saying is happening on the 30th of September. You must be brief whether that has happened. Then the delay in foreign national visa applications is a worrying factor, because when we were in an oversight as a committee, we found a lot of illegal people who are illegally in this country, with them saying they are struggling to get work done. Don't give them a reason to be illegal immigrants in South Africa. Do your part so that when legal processes are followed, there is justification to that cause. We are a bit excited to say that tools of trade has been provided to inspectors. Then improvement of provision of tools of trade should reflect the work done by inspectors, because the situation in areas of vulnerable workers is a terrible one. We want to see them working, not just showing faces, but doing their work. I also want to applaud the report you gave that has set up the National Performance Review Committee, which is going to make sure that there is improvement. But sometimes, even this thing that has in many committees may not work in your favor. How I wish that if this committee is not coming to the show, at least they must be on their toes, so that we see what the ground that they are covering. Their presence should be something on the positive. We don't want to make anything that for the sake of having a particular structure. Thank you, sir.
Were you not done? Okay.
I haven't started yet, Madam Chair.
Oh, you are?
But I think on the
you have only one answer, because when you pose the question, you then look at the teacher, and the teacher was about to respond. Yeah. So I thought that was the only question. Okay, then. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Well, where do we start? Okay. I'm not going to repeat that on the Honourable Oliva stages. I'll just, you know, try to focus on other matters. And that I will start with, shall I get my thoughts, you know, in order. Slide 15. Comparative analysis of programs for quarter one. And the question that I'd like to ask is, if one look at the inspections and enforcement services, I don't know if we have to direct this synchronized with if you look at the previous financial year, we had 11, the target for the first quarter was 11, 6 was achieved. The target for this particular quarter of the past quarter was 15 and only 7. And we've got the public employment services. We have the same situation there as, is that what's the reason that we have reduced targets this particular financial year, or this particular quarter that we're looking at, comparatively speaking to the previous year? Is it because of personnel and human resources challenges. I don't know, and it's just like maybe it's just easy to respond to that. And then the next slide, when it comes to administration, or the next one here, and that is strategic goal 8. And then the last, internal slide. Pardon me. She said the percentage of fraud cases received and detected and finalized within a year, within 90 working days, and target for first quarter is 95%. There's no sense between the indicator and the target. Shouldn't that have been 90% as well, or whatever? But the question is that, and the DJ mentioned it in his conclusion also, is that with regard to outstanding fraud cases and disciplinary hearings with regard to those cases, the remedial action that that was envisaged was the training of investigators. I'd like to know how the training of investigators is going to expedite the finalization of outstanding fraud cases. Are there not sufficient skills to deal with the fraud cases? What are the challenges that they're facing? And in the following slide, then, I'm just going to run through all my questions. Sorry for that. I think that's the one. From the first entry, the partner communication strategy approved, and if you look at the actual performance that is not achieved, from a target of 95%, we have only achieved a measly 25% of the action plan the strategy has been implemented. I don't know what are the challenges that that we experience. A workshop is still arranged, the GIS to finalize. So by the end of the second quarter, we're going to achieve targets. And then it was also mentioned in the context of the vacancy rate and the juggling of funds from one program to another, and it was stated that funds that were taken from the inspection services the gap was filled by funds that were transferred from other programs or other cost centers. So perhaps further clarity, or maybe further clarity on that to satisfy me. And then slide number 16, the one that we initially would not have looked at. And that is the last entry, saying that the rollover submissions. The rollover submissions submitted on the due date as it is clearly based. And that is very good if we have submitted the applications. But if we look at the annual report, we have only spent about 95% of the annual budget. So there is a substantial amount of money that needs to be rolled over. Right? Now, similarly, with the rollover, there are also accrued expenses that come from the previous financial year. So what has happened to that? The rollover, would that be sufficient to pay the accrued expenses of the previous financial year in the first quarter? Because as we're going through the report, it has also become clear, including the annual report, is that we have not met the targets of paying creditors within the 30-day period, and there's a substantial amount of invoices that still needs to be paid, in particularly to the Department of Public Works insofar as lease agreements are concerned. Do we have the funds to pay for those accrued expenses? And has it been subtracted in, or by now it ought to have been paid, of course, it's more than 3 months down the line. So look at the following slide then. This is the largest procurement of fleet. It is well and good to state that we have not achieved, and as my colleague Honorable Lee was saying, in terms of the legend and Mr. Lamarchi said it right at the start of this presentation, is that how big a fleet is to be procured, and where in the process are we in terms of securing that sort of target for the year, because it could be 10 vehicles. If we have 10 vehicles and 7 is chief, I mean, it's a big question. And then, I have to go to the top of that one, with regard to the subsidiary cases resolved in 90 working days, and they have not achieved the actual performance rate, 35 working, 35% of those cases achieved. And as Lamar is saying, that the reason for the underachievement there was that the employees constantly asked for postponement. She's a fair amount of course, isn't there? So are any of those employees who are currently facing this disciplinary hearing, are they working, or have they been suspended, because obviously that's a pose of challenge. And then the next slide, then. Now, just the second entry there, certain number of designated employees inspected per year to determine compliance with employment equity. This is a target for the system. We say we have not achieved it, and we further say that 727 employers were inspected against, maybe just an omission there that we've forgotten to add and include this task there. And then on the same side, protection of vulnerable workers, we say 4 seminars, and the construction seminar referred to unavailability of accommodation. And that's the explanation that we haven't, in the first course, we conducted one seminar because we don't have accommodation. It sounds far-fetched. And then two slides after that is the provincial performance. And that relates to the number of workplaces inspected per year to determine the compliance with OSS legislation, and the percentage of non-complying workplaces inspected references 3.1, which is, I suppose, to the top one, but in terms of OSS legislation. Now, we know that, we know that we have a shortage of specialist inspectors. Now, for me, it sounds a bit it's humanly impossible with the number of inspectors, the specialist inspectors we have. And I'm looking particularly at the Western Cape and else in the country, I suppose it's very similar. Is that 621 inspections for the first quarter by our OHF inspectors, the supposed to have inspected workplaces, and that achieved 650. Now, it would suggest to me that we don't have a shortage of our OHF inspections, because within 3 months' time, we are able to visit that many workplaces. But even more so, puzzling for me is that, and I don't know why we have this as a target, is it the anticipation that, with regard to those inspection, that we would, given past experiences, that we find X amount of workplaces who do not comply. That is the second, because certainly we should, I don't know, maybe it's a space target that we may have, because we will never be really sure And so we do the inspection. And then two more slides down the line. Related to the number of work seekers registered on ESSA per year. Now, I have actually no problem with that, but I want to link it with another slide. And that is the number of registered work seekers provided with employment counseling per year. I'm going to just try to add all of this together and speak to all of these slides because they're related. And then the following slide, it is maybe just a typographical error. So the Western Cape, we have the target for 750, and we have 21 achieved, and the variance 28, so it's probably just typographical error, I don't think. That could be true. That's the bottom. Now this is how I want to link it. If you look at the following slide, it provides us with number of employment opportunities registered in ESSA per year, a total number of 20,981 were registered on the system. A total of 20 opportunities were registered on the ESA, which is a variance of 5,000. Now, given that, how can one explain that the actual number of work seekers placed in employment is so low? If we have so many employees, you know, registering work opportunities with us, and yet we have a huge database of employees seeking work, we are, is a mismatch in skills. So there's a huge variance between the opportunities and the actual placement of employees. And then, actually, I have got good figures. If we look at the further slide, and now it's number 30. Just as it appears that those tops that were achieved were all achieved, and the 18 hearings that were envisaged have been sort of conducted. And in conclusion, Madam Chair, I have spoken to the investigation that's going on to that the fraud cases and the training of employees who are involved in resolving these cases, and I hope that it will expedite the conclusion now. But then, we state also that performance of inspections is expected to rise due to the fact that inspectors have been given the tools of the trade to assist them in carrying out the duties timely. And we know that the constant refrain, and we have seen it in the annual report, that we have moved money from inspector services. We often say that we don't have money to appoint new inspectors. One could only hope that the provision of these tools of the trade will increase the productivity. But nonetheless, we need to appoint more inspectors, in particular specialist inspectors. And then the commitment is given that in quarter two, performance is expected to rise, as most of the non-achieving indicators are due to be performed by then. The question is, if it's not achieved, what consequence do there be for those managers and employees that have not ensured that those targets are being achieved? And I'm just not good. lastly, Madam Chair, we don't have, and like you mentioned that we have irregular expenditure that's dealt with in the annual financial report. We ought to have given the history, and particularly that in previous financial year, that we do have, ought to be irregular expenditure in the first quarter. Are we aware of the irregular expenditure, of the quantum of it, any action being taken about, you know, those who may be involved or be complicit in that irregular expenditure? And lastly, we have now given a presentation on the performance of the department in the first quarter. But we don't have any indication of how much of the budget that was budgeted for in the first quarter was actually spent within the various programs where the allocations were committed to. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. This member is on the bed. I think I'm mostly covered now, so I won't zoom into the areas that have already been covered by the previous members. Just to emphasize the 47 overall achievement percentage. It's really a point of concern, and I think we need to place emphasis on that. If it can at least be 50%, it would have been better. But also, in agreeing with my previous colleague on, if you look at the 47% overall performance for the first quarter, how does it relate to the budget that has been spent, if we can have an indication in terms of it. If we look at slide 22 with regards to work seekers registered, we've seen that there has been an overachievement there. But in reality, when we zoom in, we find that 6 out of the 9 provinces underachieved. So if we can have some clarity in terms of that one also. But also, if we look at the vacancy rate, you indicating there is a vacancy rate, but can you have an actual percentage in terms of your vacancy rate as it is at the end of the first quarter? In terms of the performance, we acknowledge that there is a National Performance Review Committee, but my concern is that it will focus on different departments in the different provinces. But you have a monitoring tool so far as to zoom into the districts and performance of the different districts in the different provinces to ensure that there is no repeat offenders, or that they can be, maybe you find out that there's some capacity problems and things that you need to address so far as to the district level. So, yeah, the last one is we want to acknowledge the interventions made by the department, by the DG, in trying to turn around the situation. And we really hope that we can see the reward by the end of the second quarter. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm
also mostly covered. I want us to go to slide 8, where the DG skipped on the strengthening of multilateral and bilateral relations. Did you do it on purpose? The other thing, there's similarity on both slide 14 and 15. And like Honorable Lolio said, you need to update your report, because looking on this column, reasons of variance on filling of vacant posts extended from December 2014 to 15 May 2015. You are supposed to receive a report on that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation from DG. And I'll zoom straight to slides 10, 11, and 18. So let's start with slide 10. There is what I call the key area in it. Department of Labor. That is contributing to the employment creation, promote equity in the labor, protecting vulnerable workers, and strengthening the enforcement of OSHA. My concern is that on the previous quarter, the first contribution to employment creation, the target was 11, and in this quarter we're dealing with is 9. So as a result, it means it's not really improvement if you can check that. My question is why was it reduced? Comparing to, considering the unemployment crisis that we have in the country. To me, it is one of the priorities of everybody, not only the department, everybody in the country, to make sure that we improve on this area. So the question is why the target was reduced, because if you reduce it from 11 to 9, you are lowering your performance. And again, considering the gap that we have in the working environment or working places, the apartheid created gap, which we still begging to close. And here we find the department that is only scoring 17% of the target. So the question is, why this mark here? On something that is really bothering the country in general. The third one is protecting the vulnerable workers. I must say it is a great improvement from 40% to 61%. So, but as far as you know, what is happening in the construction working places and in the farms and other areas where these vulnerable workers are found, we need to raise it to 100%. But I must say, well done, department, on that one, because this increment must be appreciated. The strengthening of occupational safety protection, that is enforcement of OSHA. I think the 10% improvement is not enough, because here we're talking about the people who are getting injuries at work, people who are getting killed by accidents at work. So we need to tighten and improve our performance. There. So maybe they will clarify further what is the challenge, especially in these key areas. I call them key areas because really, if we can create jobs, if we can promote equity or ensure that there is equity at work, and we cannot protect our vulnerable workers, and we cannot make sure that our workers are safe in their workplaces, we might not know what we do. Slide 11, I'll touch ones in there. The administration, as Honorable Lawyer of raised it, I mean, it's the key. There's no office that can function effectively if each office is weak. I mean, if the admin is weak. There's no department organization, nothing. So if we are at 65% DG, we must look at that. We must improve a lot on that. Otherwise, this can be the cause of other underachieved areas. Slide 18. I don't know, maybe on the protect and the vulnerable workers. I don't know, maybe it's mistake or it's my misunderstanding. The accommodation versus them. Does it mean you didn't have an accommodation to do the work, or you didn't find have the way to do the work? Because still, really, for seminar, were they planned for one day, or were they planned in different days, and all of them, you didn't have do them because you didn't have a place to sleep, or a room to conduct them. Let us get clarity there. You set the target for the compliance of implementing the decree. You said that target of 193 companies that you had to visit to ensure enforcement, and you only achieved 133. That is 60 not done. I must tell the government that you may think 60 is a little number, it's a big number. We are from this. Factories, farms, and all that. We know exactly what is happening. We know. So, these areas of question are the areas that are holding us. People are living, are waiting with painful hearts because of this illness. So, if we can, we can prioritize them. I'm telling you, all of this country will appreciate the existence of Department of Labor. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Majeka. And the questions, the number of questions that have been raised, okay? Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the question raised by Honorable Member America. The slide 8, the annual plan versus the indicators reported on, what we thought we would do is to reflect what is in our annual plan, what are we supposed to achieve in the entire year. That's why you see 9. But then in the indicators reporting, quarter one, in line with our ATP, we're supposed to break down the annual target into quarterly targets. Now, there are targets that we cannot break down. They run throughout the course of the financial year. So that's why you have the annual plan indicator being 9, and they indicate the quota 1309, because there are 9 activities that we plan for that indicator for us to achieve. The reduced target around PERS and ask the DDC Public Employment Services to respond to that. The percentage fraud cases should be 90. What we reflected there is that they should be finalized within 90 days. 95% should be finalized within 90 days. So if it's 95%, it is correct. And how training of the investigators will improve the resolution of cases. What we thought to do is to increase the pool of the investigators. So we could not achieve the target now because we have very few people. So if we increase the pool, we'll make inroads in that. I'll ask the CFO to respond on the rollover issue. But I do want to say that we have enough funds to make sure that our commitments for the year are realized. We do have enough funds. But what we wanted to do was wanted to make sure that we don't put extra burden on the resources that we have now. But if you don't get a rollover, you have to do adjustments. To move funds and make sure that you accommodate whatever commitments you had. But the CFO will explain it in a financial language. The communication strategy, we agree that we haven't done well in this area. In fact, there's a number of things that we will be doing to strengthen our communication. We will talk to the community when that happens, but I'm certain that given the commitment that is made, we will have a communication strategy ready, and we will present it to the community. The requirements and the procurement of a fleet, we normally buy in excess of 100 cars, but the CFO will give the exact number. And maybe the breakdown with regard to where those cars will be allocated in terms of the different provinces. The disciplinary case is 35%. These employees still working or they suspended. Some of them are suspended, and some of them, depending on the nature of the transgression, some of them are still working for the department or they are pending the outcome of the. Of the disciplinary process. The number of designated employers dealt with should be 100%. We made the typo there. It should have been 100%. I'll ask the DDGIS to talk to the issue of the seminars why they were not held. The OHS inspector achievement sounds impossible when we have a shortage of inspectors. I think it has to do with proper planning. We know that we have a very limited number of inspectors. Therefore, the way we use them in such a way that they, we have a maximum impact. Our strategy is that we pull them together because each inspector located in a single labor center will not make this kind of a difference. So what we do, we pull them and we run sort of a project up. We run projects where they will then go in a form of a blitz kind of an inspection. So you then have maximum impact if you do it that way, rather than a single inspector going out to do an inspection like we normally do. So it has to do with how we utilize them and the proper planning. The percentage of non-compliant workspaces inspected dealt with. Why do we have this as a target? We have this as a target because in order to measure the impact of the inspectors, you need to look at the use of the instruments that are provided for in the legislation. So what we're saying is that in instances where they've picked up that companies are not complying, we want to see whether they've used the instruments, and we want to see whether they've taken the process further for the enforcement element of the of our process. First is inspection, then it's enforcement. So we want to make sure that they've carried that. And anyway, in case you ask us that how many cases have you referred to court, we need to be able to provide you with that information. And that's why we have to capture that that information. The number of workplace workplace has placed. Why is the placement so low if employees are registering opportunities? I think the honourable member would remember that we were here talking to the committee when we dealt with the issue of the low placement rate. Mm-hmm. One of the problems that we picked up, which you correctly pointed out, honourable member, is that we have a skill mismatch. So what we have on the system versus what companies want are two totally different things. And that's why our vocational services are doing their best to prepare these candidates so that when they go out for interviews, they are prepared, they are well prepared, they will assist them at day-to-day activities. If we have to take them through a number of training courses, we do that through the labor activation program. I think when we came here to talk about labor activation program, we mentioned the fact that 70% of the beneficiaries of the labor activation program are UI benefits, and 30% are those that we draw from the employment services database. So that's what we do to prepare them. But yes, there are issues related to skills mismatch. If quarter two report does not improve, what would be the consequences? Those who have not done what they're supposed to do, they will have to face the music. We will make sure that they get the salary at the end of the month, therefore they should account for non-performance. We have started this. We will make sure that we continue with it. Irregular expenditure in quarter one, I think the CFO will reflect on the irregular expenditure where it is now, and also on the final report, on the finance report of quarter one, so that we don't lose questions that the honourable member is interested. I'm going to ask Mr. Mrotoba to briefly deal with the question on the reduction of target, which was also raised by honourable member Mukeka.
Thanks, DG. I think that the reduction has nothing to do with whether the implementation is a priority or not. It had to do with the process that we embarked upon with the AG around making sure that our targets and indicators are met, and that where duplication we eliminate. For instance, the previous year we had an indicator on referral. If you can't tell people, you had an indicator on the number of people referred. Now, internally and with the AG, we finally agreed that it's better to look at the number of people that were finally successfully placed rather than those that were referred, because we are referring a lot of numbers. So that will be an example of one of the indicators that was done away with. Secondly, on contribution to implementation, honorable members may be aware that the budget that the Department of Labor receives is not only spent by programs here. We have got CCMA, Productivity SA, and so on, sheltered employment, which is supported employment enterprises. What we had previously was an indicator that linked to that, the UIF as well. So the agreement was to remove that target. So when honorable members look at the performance, this is the contribution of the department, but over and above this, we have to add another layer of the entities that are linked to the Department of Labor. So we remove those indicators on the understanding that when our annual report is read or our quarterly report is read, it should be read in context and on the understanding that there's also a contribution by other people. That is why we removed it, but it's covered in the other indicators of entities. DG, with your permission, if I can just quickly, I think there was a question by Honorable Ngoliwa on the visa application. The issue here is that the delays, why are they delaying the processing of visa recommendation to that is both corporate and individual? Now, there are a number of things. Firstly, the Immigration Act requires that before we recommend to them, the Department of Labor makes sure that people that are applying are applying in the certain critical areas. Secondly, that they provide proof that there is no other South African who can do the job that they are applying for a foreign worker to work in. And thirdly, that we conduct inspections to check that the conditions that the foreign worker is going to be subjected to is not going to be less favorable to that of South Africans. And that where they are bringing in foreign, there are mechanisms in place to transfer skills. Now, delays relate from employers either not providing full information or time to that system, or individuals themselves in applying not providing their full information. So we have to follow up and all that. And these things cost a lot of delay. However, and also the manual manner in which we're processing. On manual manner, we have now come up with a system with digital assistance to make sure that we process this electronically. I must say that, honorable members, the big problem that we are dealing with both ourselves, the police, inspections, and other departments, is not more in the high-level skills. It's in the lower-level skills where people come in most cases, abuse visitor permit and overstay, and then use visitor permit to look for employment. And you may have seen when you visit farms, those people, if you make appointments, when you go for inspections, they run away and all that. And then in some cases, people come into the country. If they are refused work permit or corporate permit, then they claim asylum status and use that asylum status to look for employment and all that. So there are a number of issues, but these are part of things that the the President's Committee on Migration is looking at, because there is a serious abuse of the visa dispensation and it translates into problems in the working environment.
Honourable members, I deal with the first one, the rollover of submission. I think in our annual report, we had an unspent money of 126 million. The bulk of it is referred to DPW. With DPW, we had quite a number of queries with regard to our leases, dating back as far as 2006. So they were indicating that we owe them that amount. Unfortunately, we could not pay up until we satisfy ourselves that we owe. In terms of accrued expenses, yes, it's correct. Those are the ones that qualify for a rollover. But given the our relationship and the fact that the bulk of the amount is with DPW, it can really, we have disputes on some of the leases that we have with DPW. We have embarked on a project. The end date for the project is end of November to solve all the disputes with DPW with regards to leases. We have, I think we have now got almost maybe some around about 30 million that we are still working on. But not all the amount unspent qualify for it over. Only those ones where we have received a service and we have it paid. It's only those that we applied for it over. However, I think the key principle is that finance should not dictate operation. If at the end of any reporting period there are accrued expenses, we will cater for in the next month. unfortunately, in some cases, it corresponds with the end of the financial year. But that's how it works. Unfortunately, also, maybe in government, we work with cash basis with regard to government. As a result, we have to account for cash at the end of the financial year. However, this year's indicated, we will find some money somewhere to then cater for those if the rollover is has not been granted or is not sufficient. In some cases where it's just a mismatch of planning, we then have to surrender the amount. Maybe no activities have started with regards to that project. With regards to the procurement of cars for the current year, the only budget that we've allocated money to buy for cars. The total amount of fleet that we have procured this financial year is 172 cars, broken down as follows. Eastern Cape, we're going to deliver 25 cars, 15, Gauteng 4, KZN 22, Limpopo 40, Mpumalanga 22, Northwest 3, Northern Cape 15, Western Cape 21, head office 20, only 7 cars. What problem we should also indicate, honorable members here, is that unfortunately government is working on a self-insurance basis. So all the cars that have been written off, we don't claim from any insurance. We rely on the excess allocation to make a replacement. So part of this fleet is going to replace the cars that got damaged over the water, that got damaged and were uneconomical to repair for the financial year. The third one is irregular expenditure in the first quarter that is not reflected. Unfortunately, in the first quarter covers April, May, June. And during that quarter, we are still engaged with the AG with regards to preparing the financial statement and also the audit process. So if the province or the operation is not detected, which is probably could be affected, irregular expenditure, we do in finance undertake financial inspection. Unfortunately, there is no financial inspection that we do in April, May, and June because at that time we're still busy engaging the AG on the audit process. The financial inspection has started already in the second quarter. It's still not yet finished. So it's correct that we have not detected any irregular expenditure in the first quarter. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't there. It might be that our inspection on the second quarter will just come by the first quarter. If there was any, we'll recover it from there. The last one, the budget for the first quarter, I just have to apologize for the omission. The financials were also submitted to management for the first quarter and the year discussed. I think in preparing the presentation, they were not in, they were omitted and therefore was not made aware that the financial, the first quarter financial statements were not there, but internally they were discussed, were part of the report that we are presenting. So this was an omission from our side.
How do you bring the report that is not complete? Because I don't understand that omission.
So I think the reason why there's that omission is that when we submitted the annual report, we submitted it to the financials, and in our thinking, we thought that the quarter one financials were also part of the presentation that we made with respect to financial report. You will see when we do the annual report at the back of it, the financial report. So we really, really apologize for not including quarter one. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Captain. If you allow me, I'm going to start by editing what the teacher has already said and the issue that was raised by Honorable America with regard to whether or not the number of inspectors is sufficient. I think we discussed to admit the inspection page. So the achievement of the target doesn't in any way reflect that
especially that you haven't had enough. And actually, I also appreciate a point raised by Honorable Lonwe in terms of setting targets that are going to be both realistic and achievable. It resonates well with our current training processes, but we didn't have help us to set targets that we have the resources to carry out. And I just want to indicate that on our UI database, we've got an access of 1.4 million employers that are registered. So you can see that the number of always assistance that are done are actually dropping in motion. But we believe that the drop is making a difference in line with our resources. And she can also allow me to respond to the issue of the seminar and tie it in with what was raised by Honorable Muteka. I just want to just put in perspective that the issue of seminars is a contribution to an indicator that looks into advocacy and awareness sessions. So the advocacy issue, the awareness issues as well. So the seminar is one angle that we take in terms of making sure that there is better plus raising awareness as far as our labor laws are concerned is in place. So as far as advocacy sessions are concerned, we've made strides in that regard. And the issue of health sports seminars, that's an annual target. So the reason is that at least per quarter, we should have a seminar taking place. And at the time of planning and the dates that we had available, we couldn't find accommodation that was going to be able to cover our needs. So it is a target that we're confident that we'll soon be able to achieve. Because the sports seminars are an annual target. And I also wanted to talk to the issue of 10% improvement. Thank you, Honorable Muteka, that you acknowledge this. And you said that it's not enough. And we agree with that. But I also want to zoom in into the areas of non-achievement. The main contributory factor was the issue of investigations that needed to be finalized or initiated and finalized within 90 days. So some of the cases are still within 90 days period. So that is why you see that although the improvement is there, more could have been done. So just to be cognizant of the fact that yes, this is particular dynamic. Thank you.
This non-achievement of targets, is it related to the financial resources? Because if that's the case, then when do you do your... So I would think that your target, when you target, you also put the resources to achieve that target next to the target. Now, then where does the discretion come in? Because if I'm listening to what is being said, is that we should not budget more than the resources that we have.
Chairperson, thank you very much. One of the challenges that we often sit with is that when you set a target of 10, make an example of 10 inspections, so basing those targets on the available resources, the number of people that you have, the money that's available for those people to go out and do an inspection, the cars are available for those people to do an inspection. So if in the course of the reporting period, you have resignations, you have the issue that the CFO was raising now, that you know, some of these cars breaking down, they're not being repaired because we're waiting for the next financial year to buy cars. So that will have an impact on the performance. So that's why it's a very balancing act that you must do. You're always hoping that what you have will carry you through, but it doesn't always work that way.
So this time, is it the resignations or is it more cars that have to be repaired? But what is the reason for this time?
Chair, there are a number of things that this is the quarter one report, which obviously feeds into your annual performance. So what other programs have done is that because they know that they will catch up, they will then target certain key areas. They will then do those and then shift to the other work that was supposed to be done quarter one, shift it to quarter two. Then they're able to catch up. That's the first part. The second part, but Jefferson, so the first part relates to planning. Did they plan to do the work? Did they plan to do it on time? If they plan to do it on time, they should be able to do so. If they didn't plan properly, they will not be able to do so. So, yes, there's an issue of planning. That's the second. The second thing, I don't have the figure here as to how many, you know, resignations we've had and how they would have contributed to the performance. But the point I was trying to highlight, Jefferson and the honorable members, is that yes, we do try and be when we set targets to be as close to the reality as possible. But in the course of they doing the work, they are contributing factors that impact on the outcomes. There are a number of comments that Honorable Oliver made, which I agree fully with. We will try our best to twist AG's hand to agree on the issue of election. What we then said to the colleagues is that maybe even though AG is saying we must use two legends, we must find a way of reflecting the work that we've done, so that it is not assumed that there is nothing that was not. And so in the next presentation that you will see from the Department of Labor when we appear before the committee, will reflect that information. But then when we give to the AG, we'll give AG what they require. Strengthening institutional capacity. I agree fully, Honorable Chairperson, that the administration is an engine of the organization. And if administration is not doing well, in all likelihood, the organization is not going to do well. And I think given this performance, you can see that in certain areas we lag in kind because administration is not doing well. And one of the reasons that administration is not doing well is something that we're correcting in the 2016-17 financial year, where we're saying there's really no need for us to have 20 indicators. And we've agreed with AD that there's really no need for administration to have 20 indicators. All what we need to capture is the key strategic thing that at a high level we should reflect. And some of the things that I hear, they should find a way into the individual work plan of the functionaries. So that's what we're going to do. But the second thing is, we do need to improve the way we do our work. For instance, some of the things that have not been achieved here should have been achieved because they're internally, the dependencies are internal, and therefore we will make sure, Jefferson, that we put our fingers on the key areas and make sure that administration does what it is supposed to be doing. I think it answers the question raised by Honorable Lolio, why setting high targets? I mean, the 17 is quite a lot. We will update the report, reflecting on the work that has been done. We will report to the committee on the vacancies in the second quarter whether there's been improvement, and we hope that there will be improvement. And also the ICT governance report, we will finish the committee with that governance framework. I think Mr. Mrotoba dealt with the issue of RIFA. The inspector performance should improve. What we have done is to make sure that the branch heads take full responsibility for the work that is happening at a provincial level where they have functionaries. So they have to create the week for themselves. As a business and the deputy director general of the process, they have to make sure that they create a whip. Otherwise, if they don't do so, they have agreed that there will be consequences. The National Review Assessment Committee to be kept on their toes, I'll make sure to say that they are kept on their toes. In fact, I am aware that monitoring and evaluation is visiting provinces to talk to them with regards to what the expectations are, so that they can improve the performance. Even myself, I've been to a number of provinces. I'm currently visiting provinces now to ram this thing into the colleagues' minds. 47% achievement is a point of concern. I think, Honourable Member, we are concerned. As much as the committee is concerned, we want to make sure that we improve the performance, and we assure the committee that we will do whatever we can to improve this performance. It is not acceptable. It falls short of what we are capable of as an organization. I know that we have capable people here, and we can do much better than this. I think the CFO has spoken about the budget issue, next time we will correct it, make sure that the budget is attached to the presentation. The placement versus provincial contribution, I think Mr. Rotoba has also touched on this matter. The vacancy rate is, we're currently sitting at 10.1. It should be less than 10%, it should be 8%, so we're sitting at 10.1. We do not yet have a monitoring tool to look at the work of the NRPC, but we will develop a monitoring tool to make sure that on a regular basis we monitor this performance. What the National Review Committee has been tasked with is to have a close look at how the different provinces are performing. What we may have to do is to improve the frequency of their engagement with provinces. Initially, we thought it would be on a quarterly basis, but given the kind of performance that we are talking now, it seems to me that it will have to be on a monthly basis so that we improve the performance. This strengthening of multilateral, there was no target indicator, Honorable Tongwane, because we didn't have a target for quarter one. But for quarter two, you will see there is a target which will be reflected. And of course, we thank you very much. We will update the slide. Honorable Muteka, I think Chairperson Mr. Rotoba has responded to our contribution to employment creation target, which was reduced, and the promotion of equity in the workplace reflects 17%. We this is a performance that really gives us sleepless nights as well, because we know the importance of transformation in the labor market and what employment equity as an instrument can do to drive transformation. And we're doing our level best to make sure that we improve on this performance. Thank you very much for the compliment with regards to protecting vulnerable workers. It's a great improvement. You remember that Sebastian, we came to the committee to present our plan with regards to how we're going to spend the money that Treasury is giving us back, which touched mainly on improving the occupational health and safety competencies. And we convinced that once we start implementing the program, our performance with regards to educational health and safety is going to improve drastically. And hopefully the Honourable Member, America, will deliver the performance succession. I think I have dealt with the issue of administration with performance. I agree that it really is an area where we need to do much more to improve the performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Chiki. Maybe let me keep my comments for after all said and done. So let's go to the second part, the presentation.
A question to the answer about this seminar issue. She said they plan one seminar per quarter and four per annum. So that means there is a mistake there, because it says for quarter one target is four seminars.
The second part said that will it be the annual report 2014-15 that is coming, okay? Can someone read that?
Thank you, Sir President. Now, I'd like to start on slide. Let's get this one. That is slide 19, which really reflects the performance of the department for the previous four quarters. In quarter one, we achieved 48%, quarter two 52%, quarter three 50%, quarter four we achieved 58%. If you go to strategic objectives, contribute different employment creation for 2014-15 the entire year, we had 9 indicators, we achieved 4, which is translated to 44%. Protecting vulnerable workers, we had 6, we achieved 1, which translates to 17%. Strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, we achieved 100%. Strengthening occupational safety, we achieved 50%. Promotion of sound labor relations, we did not achieve any of that. Monitor the impact of legislation, we achieved 100%. Strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, we achieved 44%. Which gives us the annual performance of 42%. Now, if you look at the contribution by the different branches, it's 44%, 36% IS, Public Employment Services, 44%, Labor Policy and Industrial Relations, 43%, which translates to 42%. If you look at this program, which is Program 1, Corporate Services, the areas where they have not achieved, what we tried to do here is to, even in those areas where we have not achieved, we tried to give you a sense of how far we have performed. For instance, with regards to court cases, we are sitting at 62% against a target of 92%. The vacancies, I think, is what I spoke about when we were talking about quarter one report. I think this is the same thing with regards to the vacancies. The 85.6% was achieved with regards to the training of staff. compared to a 7%. Now, if you don't have that information, you wouldn't say that we came closer to 87%, we're sitting at 85.3. Misconduct cases, our performance was at 86%. A total of 546 cases were seized and 472 resolved, which translates to the 86%. And the reason for not achieving that is exactly what I mentioned earlier on, the postponement due to sick leave and annual leave and availability of the representatives of these officials. The litigation cases, we have achieved it, sitting at 98%, and the target was the annual ICT action plan was approved. The final 2015 estimate of national expenditure was submitted to Treasury. 91% of invoices that were received were paid within 30 days of receipt. And we are addressing the reason for non-compliance. And in some instances, we've issued the colleagues with letters saying that letters of warning, saying that they have not been doing what is expected of them. The irregular expenditure increased by 17% compared to previous year. You'll see in the annual report, we're explaining the reason for that, for the increase. But we are taking steps to address this problem, and that is why we indicated that we have a zero tolerance with regard to irregular expenditure, and that. Before I condone any regular expenditure, I demand to see what actions have been taken to the person who caused, or the people who caused the irregular expenditure. Inspection Enforcement Services, 551 inquiries reviewed against a target of 523, so they've achieved that. 1,364 designated employees were inspected for compliance with employment equity legislation against the target of 183. Again, they came close, and again, it had to do with the rescheduling of appointments and also the non-availability of the employer. The 99% of non-compliant workplaces were dealt with against the target of 100%. Again, we just fell short by 1% to get to 100, Honorable Chairperson. Again, here, 99% of workplaces that were inspected that did not, 849,847 against the target of 150, which is 99%. Workplaces were inspected, and 82% complied, and only 18% did not comply. And again, it had to do with the rescheduling of the inspection, and we fell short by just 1%. Um, 91% of non-compliant workplaces were dealt with against a target of 100%. A total of 7,291 notices were issued and 394 cases were referred to court. And there's a provincial breakdown with regards to how each province has contributed. 75% requested investigations were conducted within 5 days against a target of 90. And again, it has to do with what Ms. Rotoba mentioned earlier on. And we are now revising our planning model for inspections for web clinics. There's a breakdown again with regards to how each province has contributed. 23,678 against a target of 20,143 has been achieved. And again, there's a breakdown of how provinces have contributed and the number of cases that were referred to court. With regard to reported incidents, only 45 against a target of 60%. Here, this is one area where we have limited competences with regard to incident investigation. And the IES branch is closing the gap. They have conducted training. It's going to take time. It's like it's being a detective. It's very difficult. You have to be on the system for some time, and you need to have an eye for an investigation. So it's not obvious that if you're an OHS inspector, automatically you'll be investigating incidents. You need to special team, which the bench is now addressing. There's a contribution by each branch, scored by each province. 5,378 employers' payroll audits were conducted against a target of 18,448. This has to do largely with the fact that we couldn't fill a number of the vacancies relating to payroll auditors, and we now this gap will be closed. Because the employer payroll auditors, they are 100% UI and UIF and compensation. So the fund will be able to fill the vacancies. And there's a breakdown per province in terms of economy. Public employment services. Last employment service regulation was developed but not public or public comment or plan, because we, at the time, the Employment Services Act was not yet promulgated, which has since been promulgated by the President. It is way now that the board could be established, and the board will then have to look at the draft regulations, and the board will then advise the Minister of Regards to the publication of those regulations and the promulgation of those regulations. A total of 18 provincial and 518 local campaigns were conducted, which we achieved, and the contribution by provinces was reflected there. A total of 618,550, which is 5% of the target, work seekers registered against target of 650. We did not achieve this. And again, the main reason for the target not being achieved by 31,000 is due to the change in the target during the November 2014 and the removal of old and incomplete records from the database. So, during the course of the year, when we realized that when we looked at the work that was supposed to have been done, the branch felt it important that the target had to be changed. And you remember that, Honorable Member, that we came to the committee, we said we had an erratum to the annual to the set plan of the department, which meant that a number of the targets had to change, and that's why we tabled the erratum. And this is one of the targets that was changed. And it was not reduced; it was increased, and which proved to be very difficult to achieve. But there's a contribution of each and every province. A total of 246,744 work seekers were provided with employment counseling against the target of 220,000. Again, there's a contribution. A total of 14,634 work seekers were placed against the target of 20,000, which translates to 73%. We did not achieve it because of the mismatch of skills between what employer require and what that push the work seekers possessed, resulting in a lower placement. A total of 74,056 employment opportunities were registered against the target of 60,000. Here's the contribution of each and every province. Private employment agencies and test applications were processed within 60 days of receipt. We couldn't do that because in the middle of the year, we introduced stricter conditions on the registration. We then meant that the processing could not be done within 60 days. 95 corporate work visa applications received and 53 processed. We could not achieve this because as applications were rejected, the employer was unable to validate the number of vacancies and also due to the strict immigration regulations from Home Affairs, but you can see the breakdown as well in terms of the different provinces. 741 individual work visa applications received and 68% processed. The applications were rejected due to employer unable to validate number of vacancies and also the effect of the new regulation. Program for labor policy and industrial relations, the code of good practice on equal pay for work of equal value was not finalized and approved by the commission's Commission for Employment should be conditions Committee for Employment Conditions, Employment Conditions Committee, or the ECC, not CE, on 31st March 2015. The publication will be done in the quarter two of 2015. Agent workshops were conducted with stakeholders and provinces on an ended EA that was done. And the annual report was also done, and the public register was developed and published. 30 companies were assessed on income differential that was achieved. And exemptions, 176 exemptions of the DCA were processed, and we did not achieve the set target because the applications did not comply with the legislative requirements. As we were processing them, we realized that they did not meet with the legislative requirements. Domestic workers and contract cleaning workers sectoral designation review, that was done. Investigating for domestic and farm workers involved in fund was not done. Could not achieve it, not achieved due to the unavailability of the relevant database for both sectors, and this proved to be a challenge and it delayed the process. Investigation for possible setting of minimum wages conditions of employment in two new sectors, garden services and building contractor, that was done. Aid report on the ILO Article 19 and 22 submitted in March 2015, that was done. Promote sound labor relations, 20 collective agreements extended during the performance period. Could not achieve this target as 4 collective agreements took longer than 60 days to extend, and due to the reasons that I gave earlier on when we spoke about the quarter one report. 98% of competent and complacent labor organization applications were processed in 90 days. This was not achieved. 3 applications considered in more than 90 days, and this is an elaborate process and which involves representation from the different stakeholders, and just when you thought you've made a decision, you get you get a representation again, so it takes quite some time. The lead market trends report was used, that was done. The final research was developed and submitted to the head of the branch, and that was done. In conclusion, the actual performance is sitting at 42, and the major challenges faced by the department the financial year has been the shrinking financial resources, which had a huge impact on the human resources of the department, as vacant positions were not filled. And this had a dire consequence for service delivery, as inspectors post, employment services, practitioner post, and client service officers were hardest hit by the limited funding. The high target set for the department at the onset of the financial year therefore could not be met, as the resources got depleted and were not replaced during the financial year. The filling of critical posts therefore in 2015 will alleviate the performance challenges. And the targets have been revised in line with the capacity of the department to implement. The newly adopted ledger also has drastically decreased the standards of performance in the department, because now we only reflect red and green instead of the three ledgers. When we looked at the performance of the department, we were then prompted to take the steps which I mentioned earlier on regards to the setting up of the National Performance Review, because we asked ourselves what is it that we need to do to change the situation we then agree that what we have to do is to focus more on monitoring our performance, because what we've picked up is that the department has capacity, we do have the capability of an organization, it's just that we don't sometimes do not monitor, we don't go to as far as a labor center to monitor. So we've impressed upon the chief directors in provinces to make it their business to go as far as a labor center to make sure that whatever targets that we set as an organization, the labor center makes its contribution to the target and make sure that we achieve the set target. So we have agreed that the provinces will do that, and will then on a regular basis monitor the performance. What we have tried to do, which I think I've also mentioned it during the when looked at quarter one report, is to try and make sure that each performance is validated. If it's not validated, it's not acceptable. We've learned from this performance, and we are not going to repeat the mistakes that we made in this financial year. So in the 2015-16 financial year, we can only improve. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, Chairperson, there's a final report. I nearly got myself into trouble again. I'm going to ask the CFO to jump on to the final report.
Thanks, Honorable Members. For the total allocation of the department of 2.5 billion for the 2014-15 financial year, we spent 2.4, leaving the underspend of 126 million. But just to emphasize the issue around the challenge that we had on the conservation of employees in the department, unfortunately not in this slide, but on the annual report page 125, where we indicate that on the compensation of employees, we had an expenditure of 99% of that allocated for the compensation of employees. The reason that probably we have to leave some set in there on the compensation of employees. Included in the budget of the compensation of employees is the amount that we pay to the officials that are in the department. Unfortunately, during the year, we see submissions as they come for people taking retirement and retirement, and we have to pay them for their leave gratuity and their pro rata bonuses up to the date of retirement. So the amount of the 1%, we normally leave it for those contingencies. When people leave, we have to pay their remaining amount. So the appropriate, well, the financial statement indicates that on that line item we spent 99%, which indicates that the vacancies that we had were unfunded, hence the suspension that the DG has indicated. In terms of the next slide, it indicates where the area of understanding administration. We have touched on this point in terms of DPW amount, and also there was also an amount for the software license that we see. The other one in terms of programs, IES, 16.3 million. The bulk of it was for the injury on duty claims from the compensation of employees, which were less than budget, which were less than budget before. Then the other amount, the other big amount was also in LPNIR, 19.5 million, GDIS invoices and the project, and the recent project scheduled for quarter four, which did not start. The net like that indicated the graph on the same information. Can you proceed to the next one? Back to the slide. This is information as per the economic classification on the first slide, with also where we indicated the compensation of employees, that the amount left was only 1%, which amounts to 9.9 million. The next slide, I think, is also just the chart that it is the same amount. Can we then move to the next one? These are the transfer payments that we were making. I think they were alluded earlier on, and they belong to the program. For instance, the compensation fund, the amount for the injury on duty sitting with public employment services. These are the remaining amounts on the transfer payments that we did not make in the financial, during the financial year, the 11.8 million. The next slide. This slide talks to the audit outcomes as per the AG reporting the financial statement. We received an unqualified audit opinion with some emphasis of matter. One of the emphasis of matter was that understanding of 5% of our budget, and also some issues around the predetermined objectives, that there were material misstatements in the annual performance report submitted for auditing, and the area that ADG indicated that now we are doing a rigorous exercise of checking, making sure that whatever information or performance is submitted can be verified. The other one is the material finding raised on the usefulness and reliability on the report performance information. And that concludes the financial report, including the summarized audit report of the Department of Labor.
Thank you, Chair. In conclusion, earlier on we spoke about the fund that we shifted from one program to another to make sure that there's no deficit experienced by inspection and enforcement services. I think an amount of about 22 million was shifted from administration, and 2 million from labor policy and industrial relations to make up for the projected at the time deficit of 25 million, which would have, otherwise we would have had a situation where we didn't have money to pay for the salaries of his colleagues who are at the inspection and enforcement services. You'll find the information in page 9 of the annual report where we have disclosed the information. We've also wired about 90,149.60 within program 4, which is the labor policy and industrial relations, and that was largely due to an increase in the exchange rate. We contribute to the structure called ARLAC, which is the African Regional Labor Council. So due to exchange rate, we needed to add 19,149 to our subscription, which we have paid to ARLAC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, teacher. I don't see any hands from the department, meaning that members are trying to interact with the presentation by the district. The suspend is that of the Lollywood.
I appreciate the report, and I think our current engagement with the group as well as our stakeholders in understanding this particular one. But DG, I want to make the same as you have made initially, that go back to the document language in terms of making sure that what is contained is correct. In 526, for instance, you are saying there you have approved, let me go to that slide 26. Sorry for that situation. In slide 26 for strengthening the institutional capacity, column number 3 there, you are saying 91.23% invoices were paid within 30 days, and you are saying when you quantify that to 16,454. When we cannot make 8%, I've tried to do my arithmetic, that is 98.7%, and it can't be 91. Because that is a very small one. So those small things should be looked at. Then the last one is to say, in the previous financial year, you had a deficit of, or you underspent by 3%. This year, this time, you are coming to say you are underspent by 5%. That is the one point. What did you learn a lesson from the 2%? Because it was a difficulty to explain. In fact, everybody was worried that you not having spent 3% of your budget. But now 5% is not spent. Should you expect 7% unspent next time and so it goes? So this is a worrying trend. Can you explain why it's going this way?
Thank you, Mr. Lumber. Another for America.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think our engagement with the previous report sort of overlapped with much of the concerns that we may have with this particular report. As you all know, and I think that there's nobody sitting around this table here not acknowledging that the department is not performing well, particularly in the last financial year. And that we have achieved 40% of our target, yet we have spent 95% of our budget. So somewhere along the line that we have grossly underperformed, and we cannot attribute it to the prevalence of the high vacancy rate, critical personnel full, yet therefore the performance of the department has been sort of impacted upon. Yet if you look at the Inspection and Employment Services, they have achieved 43% of the targets, and yet they have spent the entire budget. So one would ask the question is whether, you know, we've gotten value for money. You know, are these inspectors simply just driving around and not doing the job that they're supposed to do? But as Chair, I think throughout the report there are three things that's reoccurring and evaluating the presentation and engaging the report. It is that we don't get value for money, people are being put into jobs, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and there's no monitoring whether they are doing their jobs or not. And secondly, that they know that there are no consequences if they don't do the jobs. And hence, there's not that sort of commitment to achieve the targets that the department has set up themselves. So management must seriously, and I think Mr. Lamarck has stated in the previous presentation, that even you, and understand also that Mr. Lamarck, you cannot be held accountable for the entire financial year. But there's a serious commitment. I hope that we will rigorously deal with these matters in this new financial year. We have engaged the previous report, and I get a sense that if we come back to report in the second term, that things would, you know, look markedly different than what we have. And then lastly, Madam Chair, is that and I think the Minister of Finance has said last year, in fact at the beginning of the year, that we can't always ask for more money. We need to do more with less. We need to maximize our efficiencies. And if once we do that, then certainly we may improve our output. If it is a contestation always for resources, we will never have enough. How much is enough? We need to get by with what we have and try to maximize our output with the least amount of resources. That's the answer. This is lastly, this one's the final point. Now, this slide speaks to the number of workseekers we have. We have over 614,000 workseekers on our database.
and yet we have in place over 14,000 who are affected, which represents about 2.3%. So obviously we've spoken about in the previous slide about the mismatch, but certainly isn't there perhaps a mechanism that you can link up with the CETAs that can assist us to train some of these work seekers on our databases that could possibly speak to the skills that are required by the employer to register with us? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Hu. Let me deal with two slides. There is only one question around them. Slide number 43 and slide number 44 contribute to implementation. Item 4. I'm looking at challenges or reasons for non achievement. They say strict immigration regulations from Home Affairs. I want to understand if the target for employment there was for foreign nationals or really what is happening. Because there is repetition of this on the next, on from slide before, from 43. So let's get clarity of what does this mean. Or the target for the foreign nationals or the employers are from outside, I don't know, this trick immigration, because it because if they say Home Affairs regulation is not assisting them in achieving their targets, what are they doing about it?
No more questions from the members. Come back to you, Jeffrey. Go back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Hong. The unexpenditure by 3% and now by 6%, I think it's caused by two things. One, our relationship with public works at some stage until recently was at a very all-time low. We have not been talking as we should have been, and therefore there was always this perception on our side that whatever we are billed will be correct, and public works had this perception that whatever they bill us, we should pay. From our side is that we need to verify every little claim, you know, every little invoice that comes our side, so that we make sure that we pay for what for the services that we have that have been rendered. So I think our relationship has improved. I mean, the CFO has been meeting with the DDD responsible for accommodation on a number of things, and we are beginning to see improvement, and that will translate in them, you know, invoicing us on time, but secondly, giving us correct invoices. The second thing is, we have decided that we will make sure that, and this is a point that the CFO raised earlier on, that in instances where we see that this money is not going to be used, we'll channel it to other projects in the department so that we're not sitting with the overexpenditure. In fact, what we're saying to one another is that let's look at programs that are not spending now and move money to areas where there's greater demand for sources. This will enable us to make sure that we spend the money required. The last point on the letter, Honorable Chairperson, is that I've asked the CFO to, on a regular basis, give me what we call a supply chain report. because we have a demand plan that we have put together in the beginning of the financial year. So we need to look at how far are we with regards to implementation of the projects that are contained in the demand in the demand management plan, where we've costed clearly as the project that we're going to undertake as a department. So that's what we're doing now, to make sure that if the project is not moving or if it has not been kick-started in the middle of the financial year, the chances of that being done at the end of the financial year are remotely zero. So we need to move funds to areas where they are returning. So that's the exercise that we're doing. We're pretty sure that it will turn the type of under expenditure. We take the point of slide 26, Chairperson, will make sure that it's correct. Honorable Chairperson, there was a question raised by Honorable Member, Honorable America. In fact, it was a comment which we take in our heart, Honorable Member, that we will make sure that we improve. We want to make sure that they value for money. I think what we're going to do, Chairperson, in our next presentation again, is to really give you a breakdown of the goods and services budget that we have, so that we have a sense of really where the money goes. Because if you look at the 2.56 billion that we have as our budget, and if we say to you we've spent 95% of that, and 82%, you have to break that down, because 67% of that goes towards the compensation of employees, and 37% is your goods and services. But within that, we have to transfer money to the CCMA, to Productivity South Africa, to NEDLAC. So what we want to show you is exactly how much money has been left with the Department of Labor, and how much, and what is it that we've spent money on. I think that will be a useful exercise. You can then link that expenditure with the work done. And again, that is why I was stressing the point that the two letters is not a true reflection of the total activities in the department, because yes, we're sitting at 42%, but there's a lot of work that has been done, and I'm sure you've heard me saying in some areas here we're sitting at 99%, but it's reflected as under performance because we have not achieved 100%. But yet there's a lot of work that has been done. So in a way, in what we're giving you is a conservative assessment of ourselves. If we were to give you the other side, you will see that there's value. And because I believe that the work that both the inspectors are doing and the employment service practitioners are doing, you know, adds makes a lot of has a lot of impact in the people that we serve. But we do need to give you that breakdown so that it becomes clear. In the previous, when it came to the committee, and I think Mr. Motoba reflected on this, Honorable Shepson as well, that we have already linked up with the speakers, and precisely to address the point that you're raising, that these job seekers, we can refer them to the different speakers. When we came here to talk to the committee about the labor activation program, we also indicated that we signed MOUs with the different colleges so that they can also assist us to make sure that we improve the employability of the people that we have on our database. And we hope that with time we'll be able to address this. But also we will be talking to the private employment agencies. Because what we want to do is, when we report placement, we don't want to replace placement that takes place on our sit on our app database, but placement that takes place throughout the country. So we want to give access to private employment agencies so that they have access to our system, your temporary employment services. So we're not in competition with them, but we want to make sure that we work together so that we can improve the job prospect of the unemployed. The Honorable Muteka chair raised the question with regards to what the target on slide 43 is all about, is for foreign nationals. Yes, it is. Remember, we have a responsibility of making sure that whenever there are work visa applications, work permits, we make recommendations to Home Affairs. One of the things that we do is we have to send inspectors out to do an inspection. But the point that Ms. Mrotova raised earlier on, that we also have to look at the skills and critical skills list to make sure that whatever is being requested or being applied for falls within that skills and critical skills. It's not some skill that we have in abundance in the country, which will defeat the whole purpose of importing skills and critical skills. So, to a large degree, as a Department of Labor, we do not create jobs, but we contribute towards job creation by enabling, or creating an enabling environment. So that target was, let me just find that slide for the first. So it's 95% corporate work visas application received. So we want to make sure that we process those very, very fast so that we're not accused of delaying the process as a Department of Labor. Mr. Tom, I don't know if you want to add something to
this. Maybe just to also add, the target, I mean, we never put the number. If you go to page 56 of the annual report, page 56 of the annual report of the department, the target says all complete applications for foreign national, corporate and individual work visa processed within 30 working days. Now, we never set a target because we are dependent on the number of applications we receive. So what is indicated is the total that we have received, and the breakdown is per province in terms of which numbers have been received and the total number of workers covered in those applications and what we have recommended for approval and what we have basically advised Home Affairs to say, no, we don't believe that in this case you should grant a corporate or work permit. But if you go to the annual report, you will also note that I think the second question was whether Home Affairs is a stumbling block. The Home Affairs is not a stumbling block. We are part of the immigration board. The issue that they did is that they removed what we used to call immigration practitioners. These were people who used to collect applications from foreign individuals, and they would charge them, and then they would abuse the system in applying for corporate permits. And the annual report gives you an indication that the minute the regulations were introduced, the number jumped from 51 that we used to see in the previous financial year, all of a sudden to 741. These individuals also can't go to corporate, I mean to practitioners anymore because the previous regulations were reduced. They now have to come to the department. And again, the next slide give you an indication on the numbers that we processed and those that we rejected. Thank
you. Thank you for question. I think I want to zoom in on those foreigners.
because you're looking at some provinces like Mpumalanga, for instance, that's close to your borders, your Mozambique, where you find ordinary farm workers occupying a lot of positions that can be occupied by South Africans. It doesn't really need any skills or special skills. And you'll find that there's a lot of them, most of them, they don't have the valid permits, they are illegal actually in the country. So my question is just, if you look at the what has been reported and you look at the actual facts out there, I think not much emphasis has been placed because of the reluctance of the, some of the inspectors in many cases. So if we can zoom into those areas, especially with regards to provinces as neighboring countries as borderline. When you look at the training of unemployed versus your skills that's needed within the department, are you not thinking of venturing into that area of trying to collaborate with training institutions to train unemployed people for the relevant skills, whether relevant skills to be occupied within the departments such as your OSH inspectors and specific people or the inspector to upgrade them. When you look at the side that's speaking to the investigation on the Provident Fund for farm workers and domestic workers, you are mentioning that you are looking to at October 2016 for implementation. My question is, if you have the challenge of databases that are not available, how do you think that it's viable to mention October 2016? Because if we are struggling now with databases, what measures have you put in place to try and establish that those databases to ensure that you can look at October 2016 for implementation? I think I can also check.
Thank you, Chef. I'm going to ask DDD Elf and I are to deal with the last question. The first question is what happens on farms? We have a very difficult, or we are in a very difficult position as a Department of Labor. And sometimes our mandate does not allow us to act beyond what the law says. Our responsibility is to see to it that every employee, whether that employee is legal or illegal in the country, enjoys the same legal benefits. Is covered by the law, is paid the minimum wages, contributing to unemployment insurance fund and the compensation fund. Now, when we see that there are illegal foreign workers, the least we can do is to contact Home Affairs so that immigration officers can then deal with the matter. So in some instances we work very closely with them. We will go out to do business sessions, we invite them, we collaborate them, because we do not have a legal right to remove an illegal worker, you know, out of the workplace, but immigration officials have a right to do so. And we have, instance where we have collaborated, I think we have worked extremely very well. And I've seen instances where illegal workers were deported at the cost of the employer. That's what they do. So we understand the situation, and we think that it's very unfair for South Africans to be denied the opportunity to you know, to work in especially in the farming sector, where they are very limited skills that require, except sheep shearing, because sheep shearing is a very scarce skill in South Africa, and that's why you find mostly people from Lesotho, because I think that the wealth camp of sheep shearing is from Lesotho. So that's why you find that some of them will, but they will come in and then they will go, because it's a seasonal activity. But other than that, planting and harvesting is something that South Africans can and should be given the opportunity to do. I don't know why there's preference. And I think one of the reasons is that employers, you know, they ride on the vulnerability of foreigners, because they will take whatever is offered. And South Africans do understand their rights, and they will not take anything below what the minimum wage prescribed. So in instances we've picked up this, we do report them to the immigration officials of Mpumalanga. And I think with your visit in Mpumalanga, I think that our colleagues who are in Mpumalanga and I think Free State, so they have to be very vigilant and make sure that there's much more, there are joint activities between the Department of Labor and Home Affairs to try and deal with the matter. I think that's the only way that we can handle the situation as a Department of Labor. We are collaborating with training institutions. I think earlier on, I responded to the honorable member with regard to MOUs that we have with TIRAT colleges. And in fact, I know that we also have agreements with the University of the Cape University of Technology, with the University of Stellenbosch. I think the University of Johannesburg, and as far as occupational health and safety training, and the Rhodes University, we also have some agreement. I know that the guys were there to do economics training at the Rhodes University. So we do have this agreement, and we want to make sure that our inspectors are properly trained. But also we have stepped beyond the inspectors to improve the unemployed as well. We have constant discussions with the Department of Higher Education on this matter, because we also have to tread very cautiously. We don't want to create an impression that we're still clinging on, especially on skills development, because it's a function that, you know, is no longer siding with the Department of Labor, it's the Department of Higher Education and Training. So, sometimes
you have to tell carefully.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If you would allow me, the question relates to the establishment of Provident Fund for domestic workers and farm workers. Let me preface a response with the following, Honorable Member, that these Provident Funds, and as a contested terrain, contested not only outside but also in government with the proposed establishment of a National Social Security Fund. If you look at the target market for the National Social Security Fund, domestic workers and farm workers would form the bulk of that target market. So that's one issue that we wanted to say. That doesn't mean that there has not been a lot of work done in relationship to the establishment of a national social provident fund for the domestic workers and farm workers. A lot of discussion has happened with possible service providers in terms of the administration of the fund, the establishment of board of trustees for the fund, what is the modality of this fund, what should be the modality of these funds, given that the target market that you're targeting lies at points in the collection of contributions would be specifically difficult, especially as it relates to homeowners, for example, which are not organized. The establishment of a board of trustees for homeowners who are not organized. How do you do that? I think that is a critical problem that we have. In relationship to databases, the establishment of databases, the public data processes that we that have conducted is an attempt to broaden out the databases that we have, utilizing the UI database, etc. So a lot of work happens within this context. But again, the modality of implementing the recovery fund seems to be the areas of contention that we currently have. How do we make it feasible to have a collecting agency that will be able to collect? What is the modality? Do we utilize the UIA? Do we utilize that? What is that? Those are the kind of discussions that are currently taking place in terms of the establishment of the Provident Fund that is going forward.
No further questions. But this question of farm workers, I do understand that the Department of Labor does not really create jobs, does exactly what you have told us of creating an enabling environment. It does, it is part of the department that must create the condition, that specific task that you have told the committee. The problem is in your communication as the department. On this question of foreigners that are in farms, you must remember that the word that is out there is saying farms are the, it's where the form of slavery are still practiced and seen within there with single people. And people are looking at the Department of Labor because that has to do with the conditions under which the workers are working. You are not communicating this well, because if you're communicating it very well as to where Department of Labor can go and where it cannot go, then people will know that you are doing your work. If you say you have no role to play in dealing with those farm workers, you have correctly said that these farmers prefer those workers who are coming from the neighboring countries, because they are not going to join trade unions, they are not going to be workers, they are going to be scared when they are vulnerable. Anything can happen. The worst thing can happen to them. If the farmers can, if they are defying, they can even take them to the police and say to a people here who are illegal. Anything is possible. But you can't, as the Department of Labor, protect those workers. But the eyes are on you when it comes to the conditions of these workers. So I think it is important that you communicate it very well, that you can go this far. And what has been raised of workers, you are talking of skills that should not be imported, the skills that we have in South Africa. My colleague has just said all those workers who are in the farm, we don't need skills, special skills for people who work in the farm. And that also talks to the number of the unemployed that we have in the country, because most of the people who are in those farms are people who are not South African, and that has a negative impact on us increasing the number of the employed. When you attack, or when the government is attacked, not that we don't know, but those issues are not highlighted, but you do have communication officers. They must do their work. I know it's not only you, even just CCIS also is the one that communicates on behalf of the government.
and these issues should be really communicated. But the part that you have to play on the informal card, you have to play it. So that you say home affairs, you have spoken home affairs, but home affairs has not come to the party. So the inspector must have this information in their fingertips. If we say we are going to a certain farm, they must have it. And they must show you that they've been to the farm, this is what they have found, and this is what they've communicated, and it has not been done. So the information must not just be general, but it must be specific, so that you are able to deal with it. Thank you. We have the last part that must be presented. Briefing for the Department of Labor and Progress regarding 2014 Digital Act recommendations.
Thank you, Chairperson. The number of recommendations that the committee submitted to the department and the department responded to the committee. I'll take the committee through what the progress has been with regard to the recommendations that the committee made. The committee made recommendations with regard to the key financial performance of the department and also the findings with regard to what AD has picked up. And one of the recommendations is that the minister should ensure that the department develops clear policies and reporting of key funding. One of the findings related to employment services system. The update is that the current employment service system still requires a number of enhancements that could not be affected at the termination of the contract with EOH. Procurement process was initiated during August 2015 through FITA to procure services of developers to undertake further enhancement. And I think also the latest engagement with the EOH also will help in ensuring that some of the outstanding enhancements that they did not make in as far as EOH is concerned, they will affect them. One of the key audit findings by the EC also relates to the fact that IAS still does not have a case management system, and that the reliability of the information can be called into question due to the possibility of human error. The department should investigate the reasons for failure to achieve a number of targets and put together a plan to address that failure. So the update is that in the diagnosis of the failure to achieve targets, it emerges that there are myriad challenges, and this related to insufficient tools of trade, accommodation that is not fit for purpose, and youth, lack of sufficient personnel, resources, system challenges, and limited finances. Strategies currently in action include refreshment and provision of tools of trade, addressing accommodation challenges, and ensuring that systems are able to support Department of Labor business. In some instances, the targets were revised to match the available resources. Inspectors were provided with tablets and cell phones, and their monthly rates were increased in order to accommodate the fact that they would be able to do their work while in the field. Inspectors have been extensively trained in a number of areas. The provincial office was instructed in order to move in the direction of specialization. Targets were based on previous years of achievement and resources available at the time. So subsequent to that, economic situation changed. The test baseline was reduced, and the number of vacancies could not be filled due to insufficient combination of employee budget. Other challenges affecting treatment relate to few numbers of jobs available that require high level skills that most registered workers do not have, and individual information capturing IT system challenges and matching opportunities, and work-related policies, tracking tools for referrals and delays in confirming placement of referred candidates. The minister should ensure that the vacant posts are filled with suitably qualified persons within 12 months as required by the public service regulation. I think we have spoken to this recommendation with regard to what we could and what we could not do as a department. The department has made progress in the implementation of FMWTI. The existing policy on managing performance information department was reviewed and discussed by the provincial management committees in all the provinces of the department, and these are chaired by the chief director of provincial operations, and they have their operations meetings where these policies are discussed. They made recommendations to departmental executive committees. The senior management structure approved policy, and it was later presented at the departmental bargaining chamber where it was approved. The policy assigns responsibility for the collection and verification of data levels, which are labor center, provincial offices, branches, and chief director, monitoring and evaluating head office. The strategic plan and annual assessment plan were revised in 2014 to implement AG and internal audit recommendations and adhere to the principles of CMI. I think we should have C should actually be the response to B, so the filling of vacancies we spoke about earlier on. The minister should ensure that treasury regulations are strictly adhered to, particularly the supply chain management regulations, and that there are consequences for failure to comply. This is an ongoing exercise that we busy with as a Department of Labor. I think earlier on I briefed the committee that in the supply chain environment, I think that the steps that we've taken thus far are helping us to make sure that we improve the internal controls, and that on a quarterly basis, I'll get the supply chain report in terms of what is happening at supply chain with regard to the compliance with the prescripts, and also cases where we have regular expenditure. We have a regular expenditure register which keeps track of the what is happening in that environment. The minister should ensure that sufficient resources are available for the Department of Special Infection Enforcement Services Program to ensure that compliance legislation are met and enforced. The inspectors have received a number of resources as raised above, and in order to ensure that they can do their work more effectively, the inspectors have also been provided with the relevant legislation that is up to date, and the National Treasury has been requested to consider adding additional funding in the year 2017-18 in order to allow the inspectors to focus on national minimum wage, because one of the issues that we come up from the research that has been made is that if you don't have strong enforcement of the national minimum wage, the introduction of the national minimum wage will not have a desired effect. And that's why as part of the window that is open, that has been opened by National Treasury, we submitted the request for additional funding for 2017-2018. We're hoping that National Treasury would receive our request favorably. The minister should ensure that the department implements performance management system and that performance bonuses are awarded accordingly. The performance management system is continually being implemented in accordance with the PDFA framework. I think we don't have problems with that. The minister should ensure smooth handover of the IT services to the department. In this regard, the department is required to report progress to the portfolio committee on a quarterly basis. The update is that the PPP contract expired, COH continued with finalization of outstanding deliverables and is being held in the terms of the contract through DOL Legal Services. And we just add there that we do have a service provider called Dimension Data, which assists us with ICT related networks. The minister will ensure that CCME is financially capacitated to play a more proactive role in dispute resolution. This matter is under consideration. We anticipate that given the discussions that are taking place at NetLex and the extended role that CCMA may have to play, we may have in to consider it, you know, to and to provide them with much more resources to enable them to do the work they're supposed to. The minister should ensure that the UIF should report on the sustainability of the jobs created through the UI ITC initiative in order to assist the committee facilitating the intake of this initiative. The update is that the ITC audits the number of jobs created on an annual basis. Businesses that are found not to have created sustainable jobs as the applications are penalized. We have also advised the UIF and advisory board to make sure that this information becomes available to the committee. The minister will ensure that the call centers of the department and its entities is capacitated and efficiently monitored. The Department of Labor provides call center services from CETA to UICT personnel at the call field rendering the call center services. The minister should ensure that the increase in the time for claiming UIF benefits is translated into an increase in payment of benefits. The update is that Cabinet on the 27th of July 2015 approved that the bill be tabled in Parliament. The minister wrote to the Speaker of Parliament indicating the intention to introduce the bill in Parliament. The State Law Advisor was requested to certify the bill since this is one of the parliamentary requirements. The bill will also be published, giving notice of the minister's intention to introduce the bill in Parliament, and the bill will be tabled in Parliament after publication of this notice. Efforts to introduce the unemployment insurance amendment bill will take into account of the committee's recommendations and are being pursued. The minister should ensure that the department devises mechanisms to bring the business owned by foreign nationals in line with the country's labor legislation. The report on the proposal to strengthen the tax rate is finalized and is ready to be tabled for portfolio. Committee, additional inspectors will be added to employ liquidity inspectors, and training is being conducted in the province on a continuous basis so that we are able to respond to the recommendations made by the committee to make sure that the business owned by foreign nationals are in line with the country's labor legislation. The minister should monitor the implementation of the turnaround plan put forward by the compensation fund and report to the committee regarding progress the implementation thereof. The fund started the implementation of the action plan on turning around service delivery and financial management in June 2015. The activities of the action plan have commenced and were expected to conclude the last activity in April 2017. What I would recommend, Chair, is that when the committee has time, it can invite the compensating fund to give the committee a presentation on the action plan, what it has entailed and what progress has the compensating fund made thus far in the implementation of that action plan. We have been asked by COPA to be ready for appearing before SCOPA around December. So we have the plan and we started implementing. The minister to consider expediting the process of building internal information and communication technology capacity without delay. The department absorbed 96 ICT staff from EOH. Shortlisting for the CIO has been done. The selection process is proceeding in accordance with the CPSA directive. Funding has been secured for filling vacancies in the Office of the Chief Information Officer. Critical posts have been identified and will be advertised as a priority. The minister to give consideration to reporting progress regarding the implementation of Umahluko Claims Processing System. The Umahluko system is fully implemented in the fund since August 2014. It's the sole system used for processing claims. There are continuous enhancements made on the system to improve its performance based on user experience. The minister to give consideration to briefing the portfolio committee on progress regarding the organizational review and recommendation of the Shaduka project. Phase 1 deliverables are completed and presented to the ESCO, a dedicated team compiled an assessment report with recommendations for implementation, and phase two was not commissioned due to financial constraints. However, if the committee strongly feels that there should be a phase of progress with regards to that, the Department of Labor will oblige. The minister will consider briefing the portfolio committee on progress regarding the implementation of different rights track of the compensation fund. Again, Chairperson, given the action plan that we've put together, we are prepared to update the committee on the decentralization and what is it that we're doing with the compensation fund. The minister to give consideration to building internal capacity of the compensation fund so to reduce spending on consultants. The compensation fund implemented a new organizational structure with effect from 1 April 2023 as part of the effort to build internal capacity and to reduce dependencies on consultants. So in this regard, a number of posts were then advertised with those in middle and senior management levels being prioritized. In addition to efforts to fill vacancies, the fund has procured services to a number of service providers to assist in filling the gaps left by lack of skills and capacity. And one of those steps that we've taken is to we've advertised the post of the medical services officials, nurses and doctors, and we've also advertised for professional doctors and nurses so that we can enhance the capacity to adjudicate medical claims. So part of the service level agreement is provision in all the contracts which compel service providers to ensure that skills transfer does take place. We're doing that, Chairperson. The minister to give consideration to various issues concerning the UIF. The UIF has committed 10% of its total investment portfolio towards investment in job creation initiatives. Since the 2010, the UIF job creation investment has contributed to in excess of 51,000 jobs created and saved. The minister will be submitting to cabinet the unemployment insurance. I think we have covered this. The minister will give consideration to efforts to build capacity of the CMA to become the best dispute management and resolution entity trusted by a social partner. The CMA and all are in the process of making the CMA case management system available to all labor centers that are situated in areas where there are no CMA offices. This will enable CMA clients to access the CMA services at the Department of Labor offices. The CMA's job saving function through the training layoff scheme being extended to rural areas to get growing rural unemployment rates, and that the department must simplify the procedure for accessing the training layoff funds. The training layoff is available to all companies that are facing distress within rural areas. The CMA department will ensure that labor centers that are suitably trained to render services on services offered by the CMA, and the DOL staff at labor centers has been trained to render advice on services offered by the CMA as part of the program to extend CMA services to all labor centers. And a training is provided all labor centers of child will be working on the case management system. The minister to give consideration to efforts in the strengthening the network constituents by ensuring that the interests of unemployed and the most vulnerable groups are accommodated in decisions taken at network. This matter is receiving attention. Financially capacitated network to effectively play a role as a forum for social dialogue. And this recommendation is receiving the minister's attention. The minister to give consideration to making funds available to productivity FA in order to enable them to extend their services to areas where they are currently not operating. Encourage productivity FA to work with other initiatives of the department such as NetLink and SME job saving projects. The UIF disperses funding to productivity South Africa in line with the conditions agreed by both entities in the funding agreement. The entities will be encouraged to build synergies and cooperation to leverage outcomes. The fund is finalizing the funding agreement between Productivity SA and the fund. An agreement was reached with regards to the fund which will be transferred to Productivity South Africa on an annual basis to enable them to execute the turnaround solution program during the expo held on the 15th of September 2015. Overview and assessment of financial performance. The Department of Labor has noted the recommendations and it is receiving attention. the overview and assessment of service delivery performance. The department has noted the recommendation, and they are indeed pursuing our urgent attention to percent. And the financial service delivery and performance, we have taken the recommendation to heart. The summary of the reporting requirements, status of the IT system in the department, we are ready to brief the committee on this matter. Performance and governance of the accommodation fund, we are ready in the matter is receiving attention. Special report on rate likely to assist NEBEC. I think that this matter is, the committee is busy with this matter, and the minister has got the report. Financial performance, including forward funding recommendations, productivity as a year as must be resolved, the delays in funding transfers, this impact upon the entity's key program. I think we spoke about the funding agreement between the CBMA UIF and Productivity South Africa. The matter is the CBMA has established appropriate supply chain management policies and ensure the sufficient measures are engaged to detect and prevent supply chain management regulations. I think that this matter was dealt with when the CBMA was here last time. They presented their supply chain policies, which I think that one of the best policies that we have. The department and all its entities must report quarterly to the committee to ensure that the quarterly expenditure improves, and that is will be done on an ongoing basis. The department must monitor and ensure inspection and enforcement program expenditure increases to ensure that more inspectors are hired and are provided with appropriate tools of trade such as rails and laptops. And the matter is receiving attention. The department will receive the 4 million in 2016-17 and will get back the money that was taken for within the 2017-18. In 2016-17, no additional funding was provided. Meetings have been conducted with the National Treasury, but it was made clear that there is no additional funding available during the next year except for the 4 million for additional staffing. We have, I think the CFO has indicated earlier on that we're buying about 172 cars in this financial year, which we have, which will be distributing to the different provinces. And of course, given them the mobile devices, and they're able to access the office remotely, which is quite an improvement from one computer for five inspectors, one computer, which we had in the past. The department must report to the committee on a quarterly basis on progress made in regard to filling of vacancies. I think we have also dealt with this, this matter. Performance-related recommendation with financial implications. In view of the challenges in the compensation fund, the minister to ensure that the entity brings parliament on plans to remedy the problems in the entity. The fund is ready to provide an update as and when it is requested. We already appeared before COPPA, and we are prepared to come and present the portfolio committee on labor as well. Minister, to ensure that the same services are made more accessible to the more vulnerable people, I think we've also covered this. The system is job saving function through the same scheme as extended to rural areas to help government employment. I think we've also cover this chapter. The system in the department must ensure that labor center staff is suitably trained. I think we've also covered that. We've commenced with that, and it's an ongoing. The minister should ensure that NEBEC provides a sharp briefing on the special audit report on the regulations within the entity. I think that that was done. NEBEC must report back to the committee on its detailed financial performance for 2013-14 and also present to 2013-14 quarterly statements. I think NEBEC has done this exercise, and for 2014-15, NEBEC will appear before the committee and will provide its financial performance for the 2014-15 financial year. The department must engage further to consider increasing the productivity SA budget in order to address challenges of aging IT infrastructure and the funding of turnaround solutions programs, given the program is key to employment creation as it assists companies in distress. The National Treasury did not accept any new bids from the department, including from entities for the 2016-16 and 2016-17 financial year due to the current economic situation. Instead, the department baseline was reduced. The department had, however, assisted the entity to secure additional funding for turnaround strategies to save jobs from unemployment insurance fund to the tune of 58.5 million during the 2014-16 and 52 million for 2016-16. So the committee is urging the department urgently resolve the discrepancy with treasury and organizations representing the disabled so that the people with disability receive benefits due to them. I think this matter has resolved, and we have since discussed money to this organization. Due to the challenge faced by vulnerable groups, we propose that the number of inspectors in different categories should be increased. The matter is receiving attention. I think we have presented the committee what our strategy is going forward. The committee accepts the comments that the budget cut YS to reserve, and the committee will request the department to table detailed plan with staff and as to how the money is spent. I think we have done that. We came to the committee to do that. And I thank you, Chairperson.
So there are an invoice, which is a big invoice, actually. We are not going to have a student of us to watch the invoice. Since when are they coming to visit us? Are they able to that I haven't only dating January to Guatemala in the past practice? This is being a position to understand that this invoice has not been done.
We will be doing this, you know, taking the chicken and saying, do that in the, but not for any longer, but it's not nice. I don't want to use that. It's a good solution, but I can't imagine. So over time, it should be something where you go and know that after your report, you think what just happened. And you go there and say, well done. And this report, the report that you can't find or that are not accompanied by the images, that is, you can be a person you can't probably get that. I'm sure if you are that the last time for you to get the report like that. After that, you have control. You must treat them out of the comfort zone. Your people are used to keep in your desk, they must drive before, and then know that they do not follow up, they do not follow up. As long as you're here, the only person is in the agency. And those controls, that review of performance review committee that he has come up with, and it has been said by my colleague that it must work, it must not have a general work. It must not be that review, performance committee, that they qualify. It must have also target that when they go to a certain area, they must target, people must run in target. If all these properties are not running in target, you don't know, because you have your target. And your target are not only relying on you, they are relying on these, all these provinces and all these labor centers. They are also working towards fulfilling you. Okay. But if people come at work at 9 o'clock and then they don't know what to do and they go back or they take people away, you'll never report it. But also the agencies, I didn't hear you saying that. Maybe they are not that much important. The agencies that you have not worked with, they should be having an interest in you fulfilling your work in the system. Unless I didn't hear you talk about invoicing. So if that is the case, then it seems that the community don't need to fund it. They can go because we don't see any other to get to do that. I think I'm looking at it.
Okay. No, sir, we missed it. Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. No, and that's right. But on the whole, I think on the right track. With that particular result, we will never see that. Thank you so much, Valentine.
Thank you.